Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. I'm going to talk about finding your purpose. As I was mentioning, it's not always as simple as going to college or getting a job. Sometimes even in late adulthood, we're still searching. Our guest today, Christine Whelan, is a clinical professor at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. She's the author of the book, The Big Picture, A Guide to Finding Your Purpose in Life. It was published in 2016. So we're going to be talking about finding purpose and how you can talk to your kids about finding their sense of purpose. So for you and for your kids as well, you may have some questions and comments about career choices and how to discuss career choices with your children. I've been going through that a lot with my own daughter, Emily. And maybe you're looking for purpose. I hope you'll join in our conversation. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Christine Whelan joining us by phone. Christine, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, purpose. Let's talk about purpose first. How do you define purpose?
So purpose is the why behind everything you do. Purpose is the way that we kind of figure out what matters. But so often we think that purpose is one single thing. And one of the myths that I like to shatter early on is that I don't think any of us have a singular purpose. Instead, I think we should embrace a purpose mindset in life. So we ask how we can use our strengths to embrace our values to help impact the lives of others. And that's a purpose mindset.
All right. Do that. Say that once more.
All right. So you figure out what you're good at, what your strengths are, and then you figure out what your values are, what you care most about. And then you kind of put it together to say, well, I will use my strengths to live out my values to make the lives of what group of people, what type of person, who do I want to improve with my strengths in keeping with my values? And that's your purpose.
I remember interviewing someone who was very successful and we're talking about what you're good at and what you're not good at. And he said he decided to really concentrate on and work on what he was good at and not so much at what he wasn't good at, which is some people think, oh, I got to work on some of these things I'm not so good at in order to be successful in his business and in life. He tried to strengthen those things he was already strong in.
I think that's terrific advice. And, you know, for both young people and their parents, the idea of just figuring out what you're good at can be a challenge, right? So identifying your strengths. And by the way, these are not the have-to skills of life. These are the want-to skills. What are you good at that you want to do? And kind of narrowing those down, that's kind of a process in and of itself, and that's a wonderful thing for parents to talk about with their children.
And I have an eighth-grade daughter, and, you know, she's talked at various times, conversations have come up about being a marine biologist and other times about being a sports reporter. And at other times about being a veterinarian or working with animals, other animals, our pets. Well, there's a somewhat of a common thread in there, but it's you know, hard to what do I do to kind of guide her along, and or should I even be guiding her along?
So that's a terrific question. So the question of should you be guiding her along? Yes, in the sense that I think parents can help their young adults ask the right questions. You don't want to answer the questions for her, but you can help her frame the right questions to ask. But what is it about all of these things that she likes? And she doesn't have to see the thread immediately running through them all. But what does she like about each of these possible career paths? And what skills might she be bringing to each of them? So often I think one of the problems that we have both choosing a career, but also, quite frankly, we have in midlife as we think about whether we're going to retire and think about what we might do after we stop our chosen career, is that we think about our strengths as tied to one particular job.
Yeah.
But really, that's not true. Really, it's about figuring out our strengths as they stand alone and then applying them in all aspects of our lives.
That's a good way to think about it. Really a good way to think about it. Connie in Portage has something for us. Connie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Sure. Good morning. I did not know what I wanted to do. I had no idea what I was good at. So I went to college for a couple years, still didn't know, so I got married and had five children. So when I was 40 years old, I decided to go work in a nursing home as a nurse's aide. Well, I loved it, so I went to nurse's training and became an RN. But I did not know. So my advice is that children or teenagers should go try different jobs. Maybe something will click that they're good at. I don't know how else to do it. Yeah. At least for me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Connie. Christine, a comment from you.
I think that is perfect advice, and that really embraces the idea of a purpose mindset. So in my recent book, The Big Picture, I talk about thinking of our lives as sort of like filming the documentary of our lives. And whenever you film a movie, a lot of stuff ends up on the cutting room floor, right? You film scenes that don't actually end up in that final movie, or that certainly aren't in the sizzle reel of all the things that you talk about when you tell the story of your life. But those things that end up on the cutting room floor are also very important experiences to help you figure out what that movie of your life is going to be. So trying things, figuring it out along the way is really important. And to give young adults the freedom to do that, that the first job they take out of school does not have to be the job that they're in for the rest of their lives, that they have, as long as they are living with a purpose mindset and embracing their strengths and trying new things, they're going to figure it out. And by the way, there is no one thing to figure out. That's the secret of adulthood, right? I feel like we all become adults when we finally realize that adults don't have it all figured out.
Well, you're right about that. Just as a little aside, daughter Emily will be in Florida next week, and at one point she'll be spending a day in part swimming and snorkeling and swimming with dolphins.
Well, wonderful. And she can see how she likes that, right? And she can see what in particular she likes about that experience. Is it the freedom? Is it the closeness with the animals? Is it the how the trainers are working with the animals and or the science that's happening behind the scenes? So as a parent, you can ask her some pointed questions about what really was it that was so cool about that experience.
Yeah, great advice. Chris in Two Rivers, it's your turn. Hi, Chris. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I have a lot of experience being in the Boy Scouts as a leader and as an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
Overworking for your merit badges gives you all kinds of experience at different types of occupation, gives you a touch of everything, Boy Scout and Girl Scouts alike. I think that's one of the merit badges we're brought about for.
Yeah.
Indeed. And, you know, that is a great example of creating some specific goals and accomplishing them. So that is certainly part of figuring out whatever your next path is going to be, is to set some goals, accomplish them. And what that does is it builds what academics call self-efficacy, which is different than self-esteem, right? So self-esteem is where you just think you're great because you're great, right? But self-efficacy is when you've accomplished something great and you feel proud of what you've done and you know that you've done a really good thing. So what the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts do is they help people build self-efficacy by setting a clear and specific measurable goal and then helping people attain that. That also teaches you about your what you're good at, where you may need some improvement, and what you like to do. So certainly anything that provides that structure along the way is really important.
Yeah. Chris, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. I want to give Richard and Madison a chance to join us. Richard, hello.
Hi. Enjoy the show. So one of the things I was thinking of, I've tried to look at what we do as just an aspect of who we are rather than being defined by what we do. just looking at it and saying, well, it's kind of like wearing outfits. You may wear an outfit for gardening, but another time you'd wear a different outfit for going out. You may wear an outfit for something different. So what we do doesn't define us. It's just a part of who we are.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And that is, you know, that probably is another secret of adulthood, right, is when we can fully embrace that idea as well. You know, we always at a party or something, you ask, oh, hey, what do you do? But that's not who you are. And this is why we're not thinking about a singular purpose, but rather a purpose mindset, because we all wear many hats. And, you know, we contain multitudes, as the saying goes. And that's good. That makes us interesting and fun people. So one of my good friends in graduate school used to tell people when they say, oh, hey, what do you do? He would say, I'm unemployed. And he would just watch everybody's reaction. Well, he was a graduate student, so it was true. He was unemployed, but he was working toward his doctorate. But he wanted to sort of really kind of break that mold of defining people by a particular job and then see what happens next.
You know, and it's hard for some people to not think of themselves as their job. I mean, I know people who are that way.
It is, and I think it's sometimes safer and more comfortable to sort of see ourselves in a particular box. But come retirement, or when you want to choose a next step in your career, that's where figuring out those, you know, who you are at core makes all these skills so much more transferable. I mean, when we talk about 21st century job preparedness and teaching people how to kind of write a resume and make a pitch to an employer, what we're really asking about is not specific job titles, but skill sets and the growth mindset that you bring to jobs. So the sooner that we embrace that in our careers, the more marketable we are.
We are talking today with Christine Whelan. She is a clinical professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Human Ecology. And she's the author of multiple books, including The Big Picture, A Guide to Finding Your Purpose in Life. And she'll be with us right up till 12:30 today. We're going to take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back and we'll talk some more about your purpose and your kids' purpose. Stay with us. How do you find purpose in your life, and how do you talk to young people about it, perhaps? Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about purpose in your life and maybe your children's or your grandchildren's life with our guest, Christine Whelan. She is a clinical professor at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology, author of The Big Picture, A Guide to Finding Your Purpose in Life. Sometimes purpose can mean starting a new career. Sometimes it means traveling the world. Have you talked to your youngsters about finding purpose? What does purpose mean to you? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. And Christine, we have quite a few callers online. Let's go to Ann in Green Bay next. Ann, are you there? Ann, what's on your mind? Oh, we lost her, I guess. Oh, that's too bad. Let's go to Monica in Pewaukee then. Monica?
Yes. Hi. Yes, Larry. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very much enjoying this show, and I'm just going to tell you a little story about my career. I stopped working and I went to take care of my children at home, and I started helping my husband with the family business. And in the middle of that, I got a cancer diagnosis. So I went to see an oncologist that, of course, I had never seen. And after I gave him the story of my family and my health story and everything, and I answered all his questions, he looked at me puzzled and he told me, "Who are you?" And I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry, I'm a new patient. My name is Monica. You have the chart." And he said, "You know your stuff. You know much more than most of my patients know when they come in to see me." And that's all he said. And I told him, "You're right. I'm a biochemist and the daughter of a physician." And it just touched my heart that he saw me as more than just a diagnosis, as a whole person that knew and wanted many more things from life.
Oh, what a great story. Christine, a comment from you?
That is such a beautiful story, and you would be happy to know that I am working to have more doctors be able to have that relationship with more patients. And to see people as a whole person. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all walk into a doctor's office, and in addition to seeing, you know, all the medications we take and that sort of thing, what if they saw our purpose statement or our core values, our strengths, the people that we want to impact in our lives as part of our chart? So then, for example, if the doctor knows that you're a gardener, instead of trying to say, oh, you probably need a knee replacement, but that means you'll never be able to be on your knees again gardening, they might say, well, maybe some steroid injections would help instead to prevent surgery. Understanding the why behind everything we do is really the key to living a purposeful life. And if we could have that running through all aspects of our lives, including our interactions with the medical community, just think how much better that could be.
Yeah. Monica, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to go to Rosie in Ashland because she has something else for us. Rosie, hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, afternoon, whichever it is. My experience is through the Girl Scouts, and I wanted to add a little bit to what was said earlier. This week is Girl Scout week because Sunday was the 105th anniversary of the very first meeting in the U.S. And what I see as most important for the scouting program to provide is what it was taken out of the school system, and that is an opportunity to fail and find out that it's really not going to be fatal.
Ah.
The schools pass you on whether you're good or not, whether you've learned what you need to or not, where the scouts allow you to plan an event. After it's over, document, evaluate, which were the words my scout troop hated the most. But it helps you learn how to make it better, and then you do it again, and you do make it better, and you don't die.
Oh.
That's so important, really, because what that's getting at is that the why, the reason for what you're trying to do is really more important than the eventual outcome, right? And so there's that famous aphorism that the journey is the reward. And you know, all too often, we're really looking at the destination and not thinking about how the journey shapes us and how, you know, we've got to enjoy the journey along the way. So, yes, the Scouts do a wonderful job at helping people see that it's not about the success or failure, about the end result, but about what you've learned and evaluating the process.
Yeah.
And growing from that. So it's an excellent point.
Yeah, thank you, Rosie. Ken and Pulaski, it's your turn. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just mentioning that me and my daughter were looking through a scrapbook, and we came across a letter, it must have been when she was in second or third grade, said, I am going to be a teacher, you know, period. And we kind of, and, well, she's 22 years old right now, and she's teaching. And I said, when they came home from school, and her friends were there, they were playing school, you know, it's pretty kind of cool. And
so she wanted to know right from the beginning, That wasn't my experience, my personal experience. I can tell you that for free. But Christine, what about that?
So there are, you know, some people just know in their guts what they want to do, and they know they're calling very early on in life. And that's wonderful. For the rest of us, we may be on a more circuitous journey, and that's okay, too. There is, you know, no one-size-fits-all approach to life.
Yeah.
So really understanding that this is why I think the best advice out there is about helping people frame the questions to answer it themselves rather than telling you, you know, this is the only way to be successful. I don't believe there's one way to doing any of this, but there are some questions that are universally helpful and challenging to us.
Yeah. Gail in Fish Creek, your turn now. Hi, Gail. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Besides having a lot of people showing up in my office for my profession, which is quite unusual, and I have done it in subtle ways, I'm a professional strategy psychic. And I've helped people in businesses and stuff. But my wonderful, wonderful story is my fairy godson, when he was very little, he always used to have a stick with him, and he would make like he was a samurai warrior. And I would ask him what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he would always say, I want to be a samurai warrior. And I'd say to him, well, just say that you know, there's no jobs for samurai warriors when you get older, you know, and you're like in your 30s and 40s. What else would you want to do? And he goes, I want to be around food. I want to cook. And I always remember that. And he was 2 years old. And he got hooked on watching the food shows. So fast forward, he went to school. He became a culinary chef. And that's what he does now. And the interesting thing is the knives that he buys for his profession are from a Japanese company who used to make samurai swords 200 years ago, where they fold the metal hundreds of times in order to make the swords. That's the company that makes his knives.
That's a great story. Christina, comment?
Oh, that's so wonderful. And, you know, what I can say is that that young man was probably very fortunate to have people like you and others who supported him along the way and who, rather than decided, oh, well, you have to, you know, do something more traditional, suggested that, you know, these are his passions, his gifts, his strengths, and encouraged him to follow them. Now, I think there's also the other side of that, which is that sometimes we think that only following our passions will get us somewhere, but you know what? That doesn't always pay the bills. So what I like to say is that you can have your passions and you can pay the bills. You can do both. They may not overlap, though.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling, Gail. Mary Beth in Gary's Lake, Illinois, up next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for hearing me out. Hi, Christine.
Hi there.
I have an 18-year-old senior in high school who is torn between two colleges, but more so torn between two majors, business versus engineering. Doesn't really have a lot of confidence in thinking that he could do engineering, but his teachers tell me differently. He's a faith-filled guy. Works food pantry, takes care of animals at 5:30 in the morning. You know, we have livestock. He gets up. No one has to wake him up. He just does this of his own, you know, accord. And I just feel like all the deadlines are coming for orientation, for housing, for accepting enrollment. He got a scholarship offer. One school offered him money. The other one didn't. He feels obligated to take the money to help us. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure. I see that it's wearing on him. And I don't know how to help him distinguish where to go with all of this.
It's a question that so many young adults are facing right now. And here's my advice would be that college is really what he's going to make of it. So as a professor, I can tell you that I have office hours every week, and very few students show up, which is a shame, because really you have so many opportunities to seek out the people who are going to create your education with you. Wherever he goes, the fact that he gets up early in the morning and does his chores and is self-motivated, wherever he goes, he's going to be fine. So I think he should follow his gut and choose one of them, and then don't look back. Just know that whatever he chooses, he will make the most of it. And there are these big decisions, but we can't know the outcomes of which would be, quote-unquote, better or not. My guess is that he's going to thrive no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do feel that in my heart, knowing him. He just doesn't, you know, he needs a little boost of confidence, and I think he's going to mature, and things will fall into place for him. I think once he makes a decision, like you say, one way or the other, it'll be almost a source of comfort that he's made a decision and maybe can just move forward and again, like you said, not look back.
Yeah.
Well, if I can make a shameless pitch for The Big Picture, it is a book really geared toward young adults right where he is right now. So if you get him a copy of that, that might help him frame some of the questions to make the decision he feels comfortable with.
And that's the title of the book, The Big Picture. I think we have it. Jill, do we have it up on our Facebook page? I think we have a link on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. But it's the publisher is Templeton, isn't it? Templeton Press.
Yeah, Templeton Press. Mm-hmm. They are very encouraging of young adults finding themselves and embracing their values. So it's a great house.
There you go,
well,
Mary Beth.
Thank you, and I'll do my homework.
All right. Thanks for calling. Ann in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Ann.
Hello, I just want to go back to something you were talking about before. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to go back to something you were talking about before the break, about how you, your friend, people would ask him what he does, and he said he's unemployed. Well, I have a better question to ask people. It's, what do you love to do?
Oh, that's wonderful. And I assume when you ask people that question, they get a little startled at times,
they
right?
do because they're so used to people saying, well, what do you do? But I ask them, what do you love to do? Because that's what you find out what people are made of.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh, I would like to be at a party with you and hear everybody answering that question. So, yes, let's all try to do that. That would be a way to kind of break the mold and help all of us become the multifaceted people we really are.
Yeah, do you get some great comments back? Oh, we lost Dan. Let's go to Derek and Tom. I was wondering how people responded. Derek and Tomahawk, your turn. Hi, Derek.
Hi there. I'm wondering, this is kind of maybe a comment and a question, both at the same time. I've felt since I was a late teenager I owed an incredible debt to everything living, everything out there. I sought out the military and joined the military voluntarily out of high school because I felt like I had a debt to repay for getting to do everything I wanted to do when I was a kid. And that stayed with me throughout my adulthood. I'm now 42. I constantly feel as though I have a debt that I know I can never repay. I've always been in service-related fields as I had jobs. I now own my own business where I'm a logging contractor. I enjoy my work immensely, the way of life that this provides for me. I'm under constant scrutiny from society, civilization as a whole, and logging and bad. But I feel like it's really good work, so I do it, and I truly love my work. But the burden never lessens.
So when we think about purpose, we're thinking about a balance between what academics call self-transcending values and self-enhancing values. So self-transcending values are all those good things that we try to do for others and the debt that we try to pay to society and to all of those who have helped us under the idea of, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected, right? So that's that self-transcending, giving of yourself. But what recent research finds and what our intuition will also confirm is that if you are always giving and giving of yourself, you can get burnt out. So there's the self-enhancing values. Those are the things that make our lives personally pleasurable and comfortable and give us the fuel that we need to continue doing good for others. So really, a good, purposeful life is about the balance between doing good and also feeling well yourself.
Derek? Yeah, thank you so much. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Barb in Madison, let's go to you next. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I liked what Derek just had to say because I feel that way sometimes, actually a lot. And I liked what your guest had to say about your passion doesn't always equal a paycheck. So I am a mother of three grown children who are all happily employed and married, and one has two children, and I'm a realtor because I had to pay the bills. But as a young child, I was pushed into dance and music, and I'm talented in all of those areas. My point was, growing up, I had a lot of talents. I'm an athlete. I won the science fair. I was very good at math, and I also can sing and dance and act and was in all the school plays. So picking a field to go into was very difficult, and when I did pick acting, it was poo-pooed by my parents. So I went on to do other things and got a degree in urban planning, which was interesting, but I never worked in it. Ended up in real estate just as a wife and mother, but anyway. Now I feel like my passion is to help children, and I'd like to open a leadership camp for girls, but getting the funding and things like that. And that comes from watching the last 10 years and 5 years and
of where we've become, you know, gone as a country, and that maybe I could help. And I have been a teacher, a substitute teacher, a ski instructor, and a tennis coach. But there's still that tickle in me that wants to be that actress.
How do you resolve all that, Christine?
So first of all, this is great, because I think almost everyone can identify, right? We all have so many things that we love to do that we're good at, and then there's that secret self inside of us that, you know, if there were no judgments and money were no object, our superpower, we think, is to do whatever it is. The secret, though, is that we probably are using that talent in all aspects of our lives all the time. So what do we know about acting? Acting is about personal presentation. It's about convincing people of the storyline. It's about a narrative, an oratory. These are things that we can use in any career. We can certainly use them when raising children, I'll tell you that. And yep. We can use them when working with people in all aspects. So I think this is where identifying our talents as non-specific to a particular job or title can really open up so many more possibilities.
Yeah. Thank you, Barb, for calling. I wanted to take this one email or Facebook comment from Barb. After college, she was fortunate to serve for a couple years in the Peace Corps. She had a degree in art, but ended up working in public health education programs. From that experience, she learned the value of a liberal arts education and the problem-solving skills it fostered. Comparing herself to other less educated people, she found that because she knew what she knew, she knew what she didn't know. And more important, she knew there were sources outside of her personal experience for the answers that she did not have. She could tackle just about anything that has stuck with her for her entire life. Life's not about having the answers, about refining the tool to find the answers.
Absolutely. It's about asking the right questions, knowing what you don't know, and being comfortable with seeking it out. So, yes, that is a wonderful gift from a liberal arts education. And I teach a class at the University of Wisconsin at Madison called Consuming Happiness, all about how we use the market economy successfully and unsuccessfully to try to boost our well-being. And one of the things that people do to try to consume happiness a lot is to buy a self-help book or to go to a self-help seminar. And that is a way to kind of improve ourselves as individuals. But hopefully, it's about helping us ask more of the right questions that will bring out our unique gifts and then help us seek other people's unique gifts as well.
Yeah. We've got about a minute to go. If you're talking to your youngster about where to go or what should they do, what's their purpose, give us about a minute. I'm going to have you back to talk some more, but for now.
I would love that. So I do a simple exercise that I sort of began with, but we'll end here too. So everybody at home can do this. Ask first, what are your three strengths? What are the three things that you're good at that you love to do? Then what are your three core values? What are the things that really motivate you in life? And then who are three groups or types of people that you want to positively impact? And then if you put that together in a simple sort of Mad Lib style sentence, because I value 1, 2, and 3, I will use my strengths for 1, 2, and 3 to positively impact the lives of, and then 1, 2, and 3. When you do that, you have a draft of a purpose statement, and you can edit it and do whatever you want with it to improve it and make it make grammatical sense. But all of a sudden, you've taken that big idea about who am I and what do I care about, and you've created a first draft. And so that's what I wish for everybody, is to figure out what they're great at, what they love to do, what they care about, and who they want to impact in the world.
Christine, I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
I would very much love that.
It was a lot of fun. Christine Whelan, a clinical professor at the UW School of Human Ecology and author of The Big Picture. And we'll have her back and we'll talk some more. We didn't get into a quarter of what she talks about in her book. So great visiting with her. And hey, thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.